from a sheetrock announce booth in a tiny Ohio town. Here's Fred with this month's DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Doc, and welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 1998. This is issue number 163, and I'm your wet, wild, and tired editor on the run, Fred Vobey. If you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates, and tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me here at 706 Mackenzie Drive. That's spelled M-A-C, capital K-E-N-Z-I-E, Drive. That's Lima, Ohio. Lima as in the bean, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you have any questions, you can give me a call at 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. The fax number is 419-221-1609. And the member's action line is 419-224-1609. If you're on the internet, you can also send me email at gnbc@wcoil.com. However, that will be changing very soon in the future, and we'll explain a little bit more about that. But right now, let's get into some AM switch action. Here's our good buddy from Youngstown, Ohio, Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News magazine. Reference number 436 starts with these call interchanges. On 560, WYOR Brentwood, Tennessee becomes WNSR. On 620, KKGM, Grand Junction, Colorado, changing to KKGJ. 850, KAHS, Thousand Oaks, California, becomes WLYF. On 920, WJRD in Russellville, Alabama, becomes WGOL. On 1020, KVCS, Perry, Oklahoma, changing to KOKP. 1100, KCCF, Cave Creek, Arizona, becoming KFNX. 1190 KOOO Dallas, Texas becomes KLUV. 1250 WTAE Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania changing to WEAE. 1370 WKSH Sussex, Wisconsin becomes WAZI. 1390 KUCU Hobbs, New Mexico changing to KHOB. Two changes on 1400, WKEW Greensboro, North Carolina, changing to WRDG, and KHSP Texarkana, Texas, becoming KOWS. 1470, KQPT Sacramento, California, changing to KOME. 1480, WTLT Charlotte, North Carolina, becomes WGFY. 1510, that new station in Highland, Illinois that was assigned the sequential call, WBDI, will be changing to WCBW. And stepping into the expanded band on 1640, new station in Sandy, Utah receives the sequentially assigned call, KBJA. 1640, WAZI in Sussex, Wisconsin swaps calls with their traditional band station. They become WKSH. On 1650, new station in Denver, Colorado, sequentially assigned KBJD. 1650, new station in Cedar Falls, Iowa, has requested and has been assigned KDNZ. And on 1660, the new station in Kansas City, Kansas, also sequentially assigned KBJC. One new station has been granted, and you guessed it, it's in the expanded band, 1680 Winter Garden, Florida, 10,000 day, 1,000 night, a non-directional antenna. One application of interest on 1340 KTIK in Nampa, Idaho, would like to move to 1350. Now, you've probably heard this before if you've kept all your old tapes. They had a construction permit to do this once before. That construction permit expired, so they're applying to do it again. 1350, 5,000 watts a day, 600 watts night, directional at night only. Several grants of interest on 620 WHJB in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. They will be moving their city of license to Irwin, Pennsylvania. Their new facility will be 1,300 watts in the daytime, 400 watts at night, directional nights only. And on 1540 WSIV in East Syracuse, New York, if this sounds like deja vu, it is. Last month we told you this station was moving to 670 kilohertz because that's what the FCC said. Well, guess what? The FCC was wrong. WSIV is moving from 1540 to 720 kilohertz, where they will have 1500 watts directional antenna, daytime only. Now diving into a rather long otherness column, 550 WASG, Atmore, Alabama. This silent station is planning on returning. They're building a new transmitter site. 620 WJWR, Newark, New Jersey. This station has not officially moved to Jersey City, as we reported last month. M Street Journal reported that they had. Turns out that was wrong. They are still legal IDing as Newark on the hour. 920 WGOL, Russellville, Alabama. We told you about them getting this new call. Well, this silent station has returned to the air with the new call. 960 CIAM, Cambridge, Ontario. Their construction permit to move to 92.9 FM is on. 1100 WWWE in Hapeville, Georgia. The construction permit to move to this Atlanta suburb from Carrollton, Georgia is now on the air. 1150 WTMP, Egypt Lake, Florida. The construction permit to move to this city with 5,000 watts in the daytime, 500 watts at night, is now on the air. 1150 WLOC, Munfordville, Kentucky. This on-again, off-again station, at least as of today, is back on the air. 1200 WCHB, Taylor, Michigan, suburb of Detroit. This silent station has announced they plan to return to the air with new facilities in 90 days. 1210 WJZZ in Kingsley, Michigan. The construction permit to move to Kingsley is now on the air. They are presently operating with 10,000 watts daytime only, but they hold a construction permit to move to 50,000 watts daytime only. 1230 CJTT in New Liskeard, Ontario. Construction permit to move to 104.5 FM is on the air. 1280 WSQV in Berwick, Pennsylvania. Last month we told you they came on the air for one day when their sale was completed. Well, they have now returned to the air on a permanent basis. 1280 WWAR, Appomattox, Virginia, is silent. 1310 WBMV, Birch Tree, Missouri, is silent. 1310 WVIP, Mount Kisco, New York, the station that has been silent since that tragic fire earlier this year, has now returned to the air. They are relaying programming from WGCH, the 1490 station in Greenwich, Connecticut. 1340 KOMY in Watsonville, California, their construction permit to relocate their city of license to La Selva Beach, California, is now on the air. 1400 WSGA, Savannah, Georgia, no longer broadcasting the continuous tape loop of dogs barking. They are now relaying WNIV, the 970 station in Atlanta, Georgia. 1400 KITZ, Silverdale, Washington, this silent station is back on the air. 1410 KRWB in Roseau, Minnesota, another silent station that has returned to the air. 1430 WNFO in South Carolina, after a number of interesting variations on their city name, has appeared and then disappeared from M Street Journal and the FCC database. Last month, we told you the new city of license was Sun City Hill. Well, it turns out that was wrong, too. It's a hyphenated city of license. It's now Sun City hyphen Hilton Head, South Carolina. 1450 KVSI, Montpelier, Idaho. Last month, we told you this license was canceled and the call deleted. Well, the station has made an appeal to the FCC, and the FCC has now reinstated the license and reassigned the call, so it looks like this station may be returning to the air after all. 1490 KRSN, Los Alamos, New Mexico, has applied for direct measurement of power. Now, that in itself is of no importance to us, except that this seems to mean there are plans afoot to return this silent station to the air. 1560 KKUZ in Salisaw, Oklahoma has returned to the air. 1580 WPUV, Pulaski, Virginia is silent. And on 1660 KXOL, brand new expanded band station in Brigham City, Utah, is now on the air. That wraps it up for this month. In about 30 days, you and I will meet same time, same place, and talk about more broadcast band stuff. Right now, let's switch by the magic of remote control to that shiny motorhome. Here's the shiny John Bucker.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Hi, everybody from deep in the heart of Texas. Just a wonderful weekend here at the home of the Alamo and so many of our friends here at the National Radio Club. In fact, we've got a lot of friends here at the National Radio Club. Who's sitting there? Who's that over there?
Marino. Dale Ham, Austin.
Jim Wisco from Arcadia, Wisconsin.
Mike Lance from Miami Beach, Florida.
I'm Dave Marthouse from Brookneal, Virginia.
I'm Rod Moog from Austin, Texas.
Klaus Corray from Canton, Ohio.
Joseph Scheinberger, Houston, Texas.
We got some other people around, too. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
We have quite a crowd. Well, that's very good. Today, we're going to be listening to a real bunch of stations we have on tape broadcast at 1520 on the AM dial. We're going to be working our way across this great country as we do each month, starting in New England, as is our wont, for the October 1998 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Network News, I'm Bob Hopper.
Oh, I say, you know, those call signs refer to the regional promotion they have in western Massachusetts being the seat of American poetry. In fact, the company that owned WPOE at one time was called Poet Seat Broadcasting. Well, okay, let's move out of New England and down across Long Island Sound.
WCHE, Mineola, New York.
Okay, that's all we have from them. That's all we need, I guess.
WSLT, Ocean City, Summers Point.
All right, now WSLT in Ocean City, New Jersey, that stands for Salt Water. It was a great set of call letters, but I imagine anybody that was at the San Antonio convention on Friday night, Fred Vobey put on a slideshow showing Philadelphia 990, a big station in Philadelphia at one time, big rock station. It died, and that call sign moved to the New Jersey shore.
Here at 1520, Easy Country, WIBG, Ocean City, Summers Point.
News, I'm Kate Dort.
Okay, now, let's go back to 1968, 30 years ago this month, right along the Niagara frontier.
You're listening to WKBW, 1520 on your dial, in Buffalo.
WKBW survey proven, Buffalo's number one radio choice by a greater margin than ever before. With 27 degrees in Buffalo, Bobby Rydell sings Wild One.
WKBW, that was a biggie. But even the big ones get into trouble, and a quarter of a century later, upper New York State listeners began hearing this.
WWKB Buffalo, a Price Communication Station. We are KB.
Radio, news on the hour. I'm John Zack, American troops head for home.
Okay, now here comes a 250-watt daytimer, and you might wonder how it can survive. But let me tell you, West Chester, Pennsylvania is a suburb of Philadelphia, and WCHE apparently pulls a lot of listeners.
And another complete review of the news at 2 o'clock right here on WCHE West Chester.
That's all we have from them, too. Oh, well, we used to only keep the IDs, but now we know better. But as you proceed south along Interstate 95, just about the time West Chester fades out, your radio comes alive again with 1520. This time it's a Maryland station. And off to the west of our main route.
5 minutes past 10 o'clock on WTOI in Brunswick, Maryland. Yeah, man, watch that Bob Robinson.
You know, I'd give you more of WTRI, but I simply can't stand that guy's voice. But that's okay. It takes us into the southern tier of states the way we should. Here's a 5,000-watt daytime voice. Comes from North Carolina.
Oh,
You're listening to WDSL Moxville, North Carolina, serving Davie and surrounding counties with the best in Southern gospel music.
Time now for WDSL News and Weather.
And news and weather is being brought to you by Foster Out Drug on Wilson.
And over in Warrington, there's always good times to hear a promotion for radio.
That's right, a radio is all you need this Saturday afternoon. You know what? You better have to tune in to
WARR Warrington, Henderson, your official station for the weekend.
Sometime we're going to find a way to get closer to that station. But they sound like they got good spirit. Say that for them. And let's go down into South Carolina now.
WKZQ Myrtle Beach, the home of rock and roll.
Home of rock and roll? And all this time I thought the home of rock and roll was in Cleveland. Well, that's right. By the way, did you hear that WRMR at, you remember that used to be WJW where Alan Greer once worked? WRMR was just sold 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and there's a good question as to how that format's going to remain at 850 in the Cleveland market. So we'll.
Well, they're going to increase the power 50,000 watts.
Oh, they're at 50,000 now, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And that brings us to one of the more delightful places on Earth, I have
Your
to tell you.
Your station for Christian education, WKES 102 FM Stereo, St. Petersburg, and WGNB 152 on the AM band, Indian Rocks.
That was recorded from my home near Tampa just a few years ago. Here's a recording made July 17th, 1998, from my home.
When you listen to WPSO AM radio from Newport Richie and WXYB AM radio from Indian Rock Beach, you are joining a listening audience from Sarasota to Spring Hill. Your advertising dollars are best spent here, an international market and the number one Greek radio station in the Tampa Bay area.
Don't you love it? She says, from Sarasota to Spring Hill. That includes other little towns like St. Petersburg, Tampa, Clearwater. But they don't speak Greek there, and that's mostly a Greek station now. A 90-minute drive to the northeast from Tampa puts us at Disney World. And from their parking lot at Disney World, here's how 1520 sounds.
Please remember to include the call letters of WTLN when you write to the folks that focus on family. This is WTLN AM and FM serving Apopka, Orlando, and all of Central Florida. Our time is 12 noon.
And a couple of hours to the southeast, just outside of Miami.
At this time, WEXY Radio in Oakland Park, Florida, concludes its day of broadcasting. WEXY operates at 1,520 kilohertz with 1,000 watts of power daytime as authorized by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. WEXY is owned and operated by Celebrities Incorporated with studios and offices at 539 East Oakland Park Boulevard in Oakland Park.
That station later moved its studios to a new town.
One gospel station, WEXY, Walton Manor, Fort Lauderdale.
Good afternoon, this is WEXY News, partly cloudy skies expected.
Well, that wraps up Florida at 1520. What do you say we head up north now through Alabama?
Lee County's favorite, WZMG, Leica.
We're laying down the hottest songs in the country. I'm Walt Baby Love. And how long does it take our next group to write a hit song? Well, let's ask Bernard Jackson of the group Surface.
That one came from Dale Hamm. Thanks a lot, Dale, as always. And back in 1991, the annual NRC convention was held in Bridgeport, West Virginia. And the day after it ended, Linda and I drove west in the motorhome and picked up this next ID right over the state line as we crossed into the state of Kentucky.
This is the Christian Voice, WTCV 1520 AM, Greenup, Portsmouth, Ashland.
Direct from ABC News, I'm Joan Bennett.
Okay, up into Ohio now for a sound from the distant past.
WBNO, WBNO-FM, Bryan, Ohio. The time in Bryan is 11.
And by 1985, listeners in Bryan, we're hearing this.
Good afternoon. You're tuned to WQCT in Bryan, Ohio. It's 1 minute now after 1 o'clock.
And over toward the eastern half of Ohio, this is for Clarence.
Great songs, great memories. 1520 AM, WPGY, Canton.
CNN Radio News, I'm David Hall. The Republican National Convention in San Diego is just a weekend away.
Okay, in 1997, WPGY changed its call sign.
Tell a friend about the station for great memories. WINW, 1520 AM, Canton.
And just a few miles north of Canton is Kent, Ohio.
See if you can come up with something you'd like to hear, give me a call. I'll be glad to play it for you here my last hour with you. Right here on your local country station, Country 1520 WKNT in Kent. We're going to have ABC News for you, and then we'll be right back after that.
This is Mike Lance's favorite cut. Nice timing, huh, fellas? We just let it roll.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm David Bryant.
Oh, dear. And in 1989, WKNT changed its call letters.
40. We're sports radio for all of Northeast Ohio. AM 1520 WJMP, Kent Akron, Cleveland.
Okay. And now we come to Toledo. Oh, yes, indeed. We have a number of sets of call letters in Toledo, some of them involving some of the people in this very room. Let's start back in the mid-1970s.
Rosie cries a lot.
Rosie just cries a lot. That's Squirrel and Husky. On the Grand to Go, Legal ID time, WQU, Toledo. And rub it in.
Now beside me on the sand.
Oh, yes, if you couldn't tell, that was Fred Vobey back months and months ago, Fred. Is that right? What year was that, Fred?
1974,
for pity's sake. Well, hey, things haven't changed one single bit as far as I can tell. But that wasn't the only story in Toledo. They were an all-news station at one time, and here's how they sounded.
All-news radio, WANR Toledo.
And that's all we kept of them, as a matter of fact. In fact, it wasn't too long ago that Fred Vobey sent us a cassette of one of the more recent call letter changes.
Just past 7 o'clock, I'm Paul Oberon.
WVOI, Toledo's hottest sound. The voice of the Mudhens.
Isn't that awful? Mudhens, oh dear. But hey, now wait, that isn't the end of it either. Listen to how they were IDing just a year ago when we taped them. As a matter of fact, they used this ID for, what, 2 or 3 years, as I recall.
You're listening to the best in 24-hour gospel, WJCM, Toledo.
That's kind of clear. You can understand it. WJCM, she said it very nicely. No great problem. Well, now, wait a minute. There is actually a rather big problem. You see, WJCM is in Sebring, Florida, and has been for many years. And there is no record. I know Jerry Starr looked into this, too. There was no record at the FCC of accidental reissuing that call sign for Toledo. We called them on the phone, and they said, no, those are our call letters. We have that from the FCC. And we said, well, that's very odd. We don't understand how there could be two stations with one. I don't know. Anyway, it was WVOI, WJCM. They seem to have alternated back and forth as the time went by. And Linda and I were in Toledo just 10 days ago, in fact, and they seem to have been correcting things in between.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Celebrate the dominion, WDMN 1520 Toledo.
Well, Fred, we made it partway across this lovely land. And next month we'll finish up with 1520 in the West, and we'll add a few extras resulting from our travels this summer to get here in San Antonio. And we want to publicly thank both Wanda and Dale Hamm for putting together such a wonderful program for us. This is a great city to host a convention. And there's 1520 in the Houston market. We're going to maybe get that later today or tomorrow. We'll see, and we'll be able to tell you that next month. It should be an outstanding November travelogue. Oh, and speaking of outstanding, here's Bruce Conti.
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. Last month, we talked to Fred Osterman, president of Universal Radio, about portable communications receivers. This month, part two of that interview, this time talking about tabletop receivers. That's coming right up, but first, some DX to talk about. Yes, the DX season is upon us. Often some of the best DX of the year is heard September through November. Here are some examples of what's being heard from various sites in New England, including Atlantic Coast mini de-expedition sites in Massachusetts and Maine, and from my home base in Nashua, New Hampshire. Beginning with this one, heard in the Granite State at sunset on 730 kilohertz.
In business to improve your financial health. Business Radio 730, WBZS, Alexandria, Washington.
Late August and into September, there was a geomagnetic storm which created good conditions for Latin American reception. WWV forecasted the moderate solar activity with an unsettled to minor storm geomagnetic field.
Wisconsin indices for 23 August follow. Solar flux 126, hold A and X 13. Repeat, solar flux 126, hold A and X 13. A and X at 0100 UT on 24 August was 2. Repeat 2. Solar terrestrial conditions for the last 24 hours follow. Solar activity was moderate. The geomagnetic field was quiet and unsettled. The forecast for the next 24 hours solar activity will be normal to moderate. The geomagnetic field will be unsettled to minor storm.
The current solar conditions and forecast are heard at 18 past the hour on WWV. Conditions indeed became auroral. For example, despite thunderstorm static, Columbia was heard on 760 with a good signal. Here now with a local ID, listen for the call letters in Spanish, Ache Ota Ahota. It gets better, more Latin American DX and echoes from Spain up next. Right now, here's Fred Osterman discussing tabletop receivers and the popularity of the Drake R8B.
On the tabletop or desktop or communications receivers, there's quite an interesting assortment of receivers on the market right now, and more interesting models coming in the very near future. At this particular moment in time, the high-end communications receiver market is still clearly owned by the Drake R8B. This receiver, following in the steps of the R8, following the steps of the R8A and the earlier R8, earlier R7, if you really want to go back, has a very proud heritage. And the R8B is clearly our best-selling high-end receiver. And the reasons are, so many, both in terms of performance, features, and ergonomics. I don't want to go through everything, but just suffice it to say that Drake built this radio from the ground up as a shortwave listening receiver, not an amateur radio receiver reworked. And its complement of filters, the fact that everything is pretty much standard, there aren't a lot of optional things a person has to buy, Their latest improvement allows one to change modes and selectivity very easily, and it's just a dream to operate. Yes, it's kind of a plain Jane in the box. It's a little bit squarish, but although some may call it an ugly duckling, it certainly is a top performer and an extremely reliable unit, and made right here in Ohio.
The Drake R8A and B have become popular receivers among medium-wave DXers as well, although, as Fred mentioned, it is a relatively large and boxy-styled chassis, which can be a pain to lug around, especially when flying. The Drake R8A-B is a great DXpedition receiver and has been the receiver of choice among DXers who go on car mini-DXpeditions, DXing from the car at prime seacoast sites. Next, I asked Fred about the long-awaited NRD 545 DSP receiver from Japan Radio.
Well, the 545 is slowly and painfully being born as we speak. In fact, today, August 14th, I did hear from JRC New York office and was told that it did, in fact, today pass FCC certification, which is very, very good. The 545 represents really for JRC and ultimately for many hobbyists, a whole new technology. This is not DSP as in DSP audio filters. This radio is DSP technology from the IF clear on out. And this is a new technology for JRC. It's a very powerful technology. It's one that is taking some time to iron out the creases and wrinkles, but does promise great potential in signal processing power for the shortwave listener. And a few, even though the first unit has not been sold in the U.S. yet, they've already gone through several production changes and improvements to try to bring this technology to its full potential. So we're very excited about the 545 DSP. And we think that perhaps JRC will have them available to us next month. We don't have a final price yet, and I haven't had my hot little hands on one with a real antenna yet. We're supposed to get a unit here at Universal Radio tomorrow, perhaps, and I'm very anxious to spend some time with it. Although Drake owns the high end, the middle or low end of the tabletop receiver is equally, almost equally divided among several different models. The Drake SW1, which is a tabletop radio, although fairly basic in nature, we currently offer under $200, which is pretty amazing for a full coverage digital keypad entry with memories. It's a very, very nice, simple, basic broadcast receiver. It doesn't support SSB, so it's going to turn some folks off. But for those that want just broadcast listening at a good price, it's a very nice value. Moving up the line, we do have the Frog 100 at a little bit under $600, which is a very nice receiver, excellent SSB and CW capability especially. We also offer a little French, as in France, external keypad for that. That's the one feature that they seem to have left out, but the French have stepped in and a third-party company supplies a neat little keypad for it. So that receiver does well. And there's also the Drake SW8, which is kind of a different receiver from all the rest because it's both a communications receiver and a portable. It truly has the performance and the quality of a table radio, but does have batteries and its own antenna, and so we call it a port-a-top. And the SW8, although it's creeped up in price to nearly $800, still has a strong following as well.
Fred Osterman of Universal Radio. Next month, a discussion with Universal Technical Consultant John Wagner. Now, back to the DX.
It's 5:59 at WRKD Rockland. Weather on the 9 today, AM News 1450, calling for morning clouds, becoming partly sunny. Highs will be in the 70s. Tonight, look for partly cloudy conditions. Lows will be in the 50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Highs again will be in the 70s. On the water, wind from the west-southwest at 10 to 20 knots, becoming south-southwesterly by afternoon. Seas to 3 feet. Our next high tide at 11:25.
A
AP Network News. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
America's great songs by the great artists coming to you on AM 1450 WRKD Rockland.
CNN Radio News. I'm David Hall.
WPOR-FM Portland. Nobody plays more of today's country. Nobody. WPOR 101.9 only stops the music twice an hour.
Checking out their graveyard frequencies, 1450 and 1490 as heard in Camden, Maine. Spain was dominant on most frequencies. In fact, on many frequencies where Spain's networks run synchronized stations, an echo could be heard caused by the delay between stations and hearing more than one station at a time, such as here on 1143 kilohertz. Synchronized stations from Spain on 1143 kilohertz, as heard from Midcoast, Maine. Latin American DX improved significantly in September. Check out this signal from Caracas, Venezuela, with RCR IDs on 750.
Está por escribir una página. Esperemos que sea de oro.
RCR Deportes es todo fútbol en los Juegos Centroamericanos y del Caribe. Usted lo escuchó por RCR Deportes.
Daniel Noriega, figura importante de la selección venezolana de fútbol, Caricari, ya te empiezan a querer argentino, ¿verdad?
RCR stands for Radio Caracas Radio. Venezuela was even stronger on 780 kilohertz with Radio Coro from Coro, Venezuela. Here with a jingle ID.
4 de la tarde por Radio Coro, patrimonio de la comunidad. ¡Vaya! Más popular.
Radio Coro on 780. With the DX season in full swing, I'm interested in hearing what you're hearing. If you'd like to send in cassette recordings of your DX, domestic or international, here's my address, 46 Ridgefield Drive, Nashua, New Hampshire, 03062-1174. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73s and good DX.
The DX Audio Service.
Crunchy tacos. I would love to go have some tacos.
There's nothing else quite like it.
And you miss some darn good tacos if you miss the National Radio Clubs Convention in San Antonio, Texas. Shame on you if you didn't have a chance to go or you just decided you weren't going to go. It was a darn good convention, but why am I so wet and wild? Well, here's why. I just got back about 3-4 hours ago from Cedar Point Amusement Park, spending a couple days up there, in fact, three of them, up at the amusement park with the kids, and I did not whatsoever take into any consideration the phrase, act your age. I did the rides with the kids, and I'll tell you, that is some experience. Going down in a canoe about 200 feet up in the air, down some water slide and then hitting the water, skimming across, getting, well, boy, I'll tell you. But anyway, that wound up 3 weeks between the National Radio Club Convention and now. And I'll tell you what, it was a good time. If anyone has not taken in Cedar Point Amusement Park, you got to do it. It's not a commercial. It's just something that I experienced and I had a good time. And I haven't been there in 15 years. The park's changed and it is a good time. Anyway, the National Radio Club Convention. If you didn't get a chance to go, you missed a darn good convention. I think that Dale and Wanda Ham did one heck of a job, and they should be commended for their efforts. The convention, the food was excellent. The hospitality was excellent. Everything that went on at the convention was superb. And I think that we have what is known as a benchmark for future conventions that we're going to have to look forward to in the future because they did such a fine job. I'd like to publicly congratulate the Ham family for their superb organization in the convention this year. And I'll tell you, the only negative thing to it was the fact that Northwest went on strike, and it hosed out a few members and caused some distress to one of our members who did come, and that was the only negative thing, is just some of the airline connections. And just remember that next time you book your airfare. Remember who your friends are, as my father would say. But the convention was absolutely superb. Now, we have several bids for future conventions. And we've got, in this order, Bridgeport, West Virginia, Chicago, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Montreal, Quebec. And we're not sure which one will be the 1999 site. So as soon as we get that information, we will let you know. You better make plans. Start putting those dollars aside, both for the convention and also for the auction, because several people walked away with some real deals. Brand new free play radios. I think Professor Moe got that one. Just basically 10 cents on the dollar on a lot of these items. I think it was a Radio Shack DX440, I believe. AM, FM, shortwave radio. Again, 10 cents on the dollar, a brand new radio. That's fabulous deals. But we've got four convention bids. We'll let you know about those in the future. As far as convention tapes, I did record a lot of material, but I don't have it all edited, so I don't think I should mention to send in any money for convention tapes as of yet. Let me see if it comes down to two tapes or three tapes. But we did record the speakers. We had two speakers, which were fantastic. The business meeting, we also recorded some of the events that happened at the convention. So if you didn't have a chance to go and you'd like to find out what happened at the National Radio Club Convention, the tapes will be available at a very modest price. Just give me some time to sit down and figure out exactly how much I can edit and what I want to keep, and we'll have them on the next edition of the DX Audio Service. But make plans now for next year's convention. And put your money aside for both the convention and also the auction, because you want to be there next year. And let's see if we can get through the rest of side one here before I lose my voice. I guess I shouldn't have been out in the wind and the wild when I'm wet. Ken and Wayne say that the 19th edition of the National Radio Club AM Radio Log is ready for mailing around October the 15th. And you're welcome to pre-order the log at the same price as it has been for several years. That is $16.95 to U.S. and Canadian National Radio Club DX Audio Service members. Also, the National Radio Club catalog prices will be good through October the 15th, but after that, prices on some of the items will increase because of printing costs. So if you've been procrastinating to order from the catalog, now's the time to get your order in. Contact Crazy Ken Chatterton at Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661 for more information. From Paul Swearingen, Paul writes, "With some regret, I've accepted the resignation of formats editor Tony Fitzherbert, whose sites drastically reduced time as his reason for resigning from his longtime editorship of the formats column. So we need a formats editor immediately. And as some of the information comes via the internet, Tony's successor should have equipment to access the internet. Thank you for all your hard work over the years, Tony, and maybe we'll see you in a station profile or two in the future if you have some time. So if you'd like to become a formats editor, please contact either myself or Paul Swearingen at DX News Magazine. And what it requires you to do is keep tabs on stations who have changed their formats. This information is provided from members to you. You make up a list of all the changes and submit them at periodic times, and we'll publish them in DX News Magazine and also here on the DX Audio Service. So basically, you just need to keep track of all the changes that people are making in radio. This is kind of short notice, but Radio Fest 98, The Ontario DX Association invites radio enthusiasts of all interests and all levels to join them for Radio Fest 98, Friday, October 2nd through Sunday, October 4th at Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario. Special guests coming will include Larry Magny, editor-in-chief of Passport to World Band Radio, Bruce Elving, editor of the FM Atlas, John Figliorzi, authority and author on shortwave programming, and Kim Andrew Elliott, host of Voice of America's Communication World Program. Registration fee, $15 for the entire convention, $5 for one-day attendance. This includes the Friday night reception. The Saturday banquet and Sunday breakfast will be held at local facilities where you may order and pay for your own meal. For further information, contact the Ontario DX Association at Post Office Box 161, Station A, Willowdale, Ontario, M2N 5S8 in Canada. Or you can contact them via the internet at the following address, 70400.2660@CompuServe.com, and be sure to tell them that you heard about it on the DX audio service. And finally, from the DX Time Machine, from the pages of DX News Magazine from 50 years ago, from the September 4th, 1948 DX News, an announcement was made of a new publication of the World Radio Handbook in English at $1.25 per copy, available through B.E. Wilbert in East Orange, New Jersey. 25 years ago, from the September 8, 1973 DX News magazine, DX News changes include moving publication from Boston to New Jersey. IDXD was edited by Al Merriman and DDXD by Wes Boyd, and the number of bulletins per year were to be 30, all printed on metal plates from negatives. From 10 years ago, from the September 19, 1988 DX News, Chris Cuomo published his list of TIS and HAR stations in the AM band. Also from Paul Swearingen, Paul writes, "The National Radio Club has not run any contests in the past few years, and perhaps now is the time for a creative individual to start them up again in order to promote more fun in DXing. I'd suggest that several individual short-time contests be created, with at least one top overall winner declared, perhaps in the spring, from point totals generated by individual contests. But any and all possibilities can be considered. It would be helpful if you had some knowledge of past contests and access to a computer. Volunteers, anyone? And I might add, maybe even a short quiz in DX News Magazine and on the DX Audio Service, like we had at the National Radio Club Convention. Oh, and speaking of the convention, I forgot to mention that the auction took in a record $703.50, which was distributed amongst the 35 or so convention goers. And as I mentioned before, that was a great auction and a great convention. And with that, I think it's time to do a flip.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX audio service.